This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Teich. Thank you so much for being with us today. When it comes to developments in city government in Milwaukee, there's one thing you can almost guarantee: a public comment or a news release by Alderman Bob Donovan. Donovan represents the 8th District on Milwaukee's south side, and he's often a thorn in the side of a mayor and common council that are generally pretty closely aligned. In fact, his outspokenness on many issues are such that a movement has sprung up to draft Bob Donovan to run in the next mayoral election. Donovan's the subject of an in-depth profile in the November issue of Milwaukee Magazine. Reporter Larry Sandler joins us to offer some insights into a political figure who he got to spend quite a lot of time with. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Mitch. Good to be back here.
There are many, many contradictory opinions, I guess, about Alderman Donovan that you write about in this article. But let's start with an issue that people seem to be in agreement around, and that is why he seems to enjoy such strong support in his district. Talk about Bob Donovan's approach to constituent service.
Yeah, Donovan is very much into constituent service. He came up from the ranks of being a community activist, so he came from the neighborhood. He's very close to the neighborhood and to the people there, and so he does a number of things with constituent service. One is that during the warmer months, he walks through the district, through one particular part of the district, one neighborhood, twice a week. And he goes with staff, public works staff, neighborhood services staff, somebody from the police department, somebody from one of the community groups, and they go together through the neighborhood and look for problems, look for issues, talk to constituents. I went along with him on one of these walks, and it's very interesting to see. I mean, he goes after all of these little things. Here's somebody whose paint is peeling. Here's a place where, you know, maybe a street light is out. And he finds all these little things that by themselves aren't very much, but together he sees them as adding up to the quality of life. And then meanwhile, like all aldermen, he gets a lot of calls. He gets a lot of calls from constituents who want his help with one thing or another, navigating the city bureaucracy, getting help with their garbage pickup or getting their street repaired or whatever. And he's very responsive to that.
And you're right that he gets calls from people that are actually not in his district.
Yes. And this is a function of the high citywide profile that he's maintained. You know, much more so than a lot of other aldermen, his name is known throughout the city, not necessarily liked in all corners of the city, but he has his constituency, and his constituency is not limited to his district. And so there are some people from outside his district who call him, particularly his aide told me, after he's put out a news release or had a news conference, raises his profile a little more, he gets a few more calls from outside his district.
Well, let's go back to the beginning of this article for you. What were you hoping to do with this profile? Why was Bob Donovan's story compelling enough that you wanted to fill in some blanks, if you will?
Well, he is sort of a unique figure on the Milwaukee Common Council in many ways. One is that while he is certainly not the only conservative or not the only critic of Mayor Barrett, he is the most vocal. He is the most visible. He holds a lot of news conferences, issues a lot of news releases, grants a lot of interviews. You see him on TV all the time, so much so that people start to see him as a possible challenger to Mayor Barrett. He's never pulled the plug. He might not, but people talk about it. So I thought that with somebody that high profile, it's worth taking a look into what makes them tick, what they're really all about, what they really want.
You write about his political leanings, including the detail that he ran for office early in his career twice as a Republican, which seemed to surprise some of your other sources for this story.
It did. It did. And this is something that, you know, some Milwaukee old timers, you know, particularly from the South Side, might remember, but a lot of people have forgotten. And when he was a young man, he did run for office twice for the Assembly as a Republican, got soundly defeated because this is a pretty solidly Democratic city. But it was interesting to me that when I asked him how he got into politics, he went through, in the first interview, he went through long stories about all the various jobs that he'd had, eventually coming around to how he came to run for alderman and lost the first time and then tried a second time and got elected. Didn't say anything about his first two races. As I talked to more people, they mentioned about these earlier assembly races. I looked it up. I talked to Joe Czarnecki, who was his first opponent. And then I came back to him in the second interview and asked him about this, and he told me. And I said, well, why didn't you mention this before? He said, well, you didn't ask me. And I said, well, I asked you how you got into politics, and I would think that you would tell me about your first two races before you got around to your third and fourth. And he didn't have a lot to say. But he admitted eventually that if people see you as a Republican in Milwaukee, that's a political liability. And so it is better for him to be seen as a nonpartisan, and he calls himself a nonpartisan. He has not been identified at all with the Republican Party since then.
Right. The Republican spokesman said he doesn't have any memory of Donovan showing up at any recent GOP events.
No. Well, not even recent, but in the last 20 years. And he, in fact, when I was talking to him, he said, well, you know, we don't really have a candidate to run against Barrett, but better to have a conservative Democrat than nobody. And when I told him that Donovan had run for office as Republican, he was quite surprised to hear that.
There are calls for him to run for mayor, even if he says he is not running at this point. What is it that some see in him that might make him a challenge for Tom Barrett?
What some people see in him is essentially the opposite of Mayor Barrett. That Mayor Barrett is, the rap on him has always been the idea that he's too nice of a guy. Donovan is somebody who's not afraid to shake things up. Mayor Barrett, obviously a Democrat towards the liberal side. Donovan, more conservative, even if he's not a Republican per se, he's certainly a conservative. Donovan, very strong on law and order issues. That's not to say that Barrett is not. Barrett would be the first to point out, you know, how much money he does put into the police department. But there's also this idea among some of the longtime residents, the idea that Bob Donovan would bring Milwaukee back to what it used to be like, you know, when they were growing up, when it was this clean, safe city. And, you know, whether you can truly turn the clock back, you know, who knows. But that's the idea.
Well, and there are some critics that say that's code for what it demographically used to look like. But at the same time, we should point out that Bob Donovan's district is largely Hispanic, and that has not stopped him from winning re-election.
That's true. He does have a Hispanic district, and in fact, that was a point of great controversy during the redistricting. The redistricting debate really in Milwaukee Common Council was all about Bob Donovan's district because he was trying to hold on to some predominantly white wards in the Jackson Park neighborhood where he grew up, which would have made his district a little less Hispanic, probably still like, you know, more than 50%, but now it's over 60%. But he did get reelected nonetheless against a Hispanic opponent, actually against three Hispanic opponents in the primary. And some say that is because specifically of the approach to constituent service, because regardless of whether you're Hispanic or white or black or whatever, you know, you want your streetlights to work. You want your alderman to respond when you call, and he does.
You write that Bob Donovan's relationships with other council members are, I don't know, maybe strained at best.
Yes, indeed. And that is partly because of his style, which is that he will just go off and say what he wants without worrying about whether it offends people. But he doesn't really seem to want to make friends on the council. I mean, I asked him, do you socialize? Do you go out to lunch with people, other aldermen? And he said, no. You know, he has his own friends. He has his own family. That's who he prefers to spend his time with. And so much more so than any other alderman, he is isolated on the council, not just by his votes, because, you know, there are a couple who will vote with him on at least some issues, sometimes most issues. But socially, you know, he's isolated. He doesn't play well with others, so to speak, at least in the council context. It's very difficult to find anybody on the council who has a lot of good things to say about him.
Your profile also points to some legal challenges in Donovan's past. He was one of a handful of aldermen indicted between 2002 and 2007, and then there's the much earlier 1992 arrest at UW-Milwaukee. Both of those cases seem like they're ancient history as far as his political career goes. So they're not really sticking to him in terms of his electability.
No, they haven't stuck to him. They've both been brought up in campaigns. In his first campaign, or I should say his second campaign for alderman in 2000, his opponent did bring up the question of his arrest in a Peeping Tom arrest, basically, in a men's room in UWM. That did not stop him from getting elected that first time. And then in 2004, his opponent at that time raised questions about his relationship with an organization that he had founded called the Milwaukee Alliance, that he had then voted for community development block grants for. That did not stop him from getting reelected in 2004. It did wind up turning into an indictment in 2005, but then that charge was eventually dismissed after evidence came out that he had talked to the ethics board about the potential conflicts there. He did wind up paying what the prosecutor called a fine. He says it was just to reimburse the city for its investigation cost, but it was $2,500 any way you slice it. And he had certain restrictions that he agreed to about not working with community groups. But nonetheless, despite all that, he had no opponent in 2008. So these things are either not important to his constituents or are not important enough to override what they see as the things that they like about him.
Now, late in the article, you reference the shooting of a black teenager in his aldermanic district by a man who had just vented his complaints to Donovan and then went home and shot this teen. Why did you see that as a relevant story for this profile?
Well, and in fact, it actually was in the district right next to his in
my
Alderman
mistake,
Perez's
yeah.
district. But what was relevant about that was this was an example of how people feel that they can just come and talk Bob Donovan. And he has this hangout at George Webb's at 21st and Mitchell that's almost like a district office for him, where people come and talk to him and meet with him, either arranged or spontaneous. And this was one of those people who he had met. It's part of his sort of connection to the neighborhood is that he goes every day for coffee at this particular George Webb's. And he says, you know, this guy, John Spooner, was somebody who he didn't really know. He knew by first name only, had seen him in George Webb's, had talked to him occasionally. And Spooner came and vented to him about how angry he was that the police had not investigated his missing guns. And he made the comment, there are other ways to handle these things. As we all know, he went home and confronted his 13-year-old neighbor, black youth by the name of Darius Simmons, and shot him, dead. Which was a very tragic story. It said something, and Donovan wound up testifying in that trial, but it said something about the kind of the racial tensions that you see in changing neighborhoods, and I linked that up with the redistricting issues. And also, you know, there had been another incident previously where Alderman Donovan and Alderman Dudzik had issued a statement about the violence at State Fair a few years ago. There was a very controversial statement that talked about a deteriorating African-American culture. And this is important to look at in this context because Donovan's support is in the white community, and ultimately his relationship with the minority communities, if he did make a citywide race, that would play into it very much so. Question of whether he would get any support either from Hispanics or from African Americans.
So at the end of the day, do you feel like you have more insight into the man than when you started?
I do. And I speak from the standpoint of having covered him for 5 years as the City Hall reporter at the Journal Sentinel and on a variety of other stories before and since. But yeah, I did feel that after spending all that time with him, I did get a little more insight into him.
Larry Sandler, thanks so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
Larry Sandler's article on Milwaukee Alderman Bob Donovan is called Lone Wolf, and it's in the November issue of Milwaukee Magazine, which is set to hit a newsstand near you. A short break now, and then we'll look back at 30 years of business news in Milwaukee, condensed to about 10 minutes. This is Lake Effect for Milwaukee Public Radio.